Dear devotees, yesterday I explained some of the leelas of Sri Krishna which are told in the 10th skand of the Bhagavatam. After Sri Krishna had killed the demon Shankhachur and removed his Churamani, that beautiful jewel from the top of his head, he went to his Bade Bhaiya Balram, and he lovingly gave him that jewel. It seems that there was no shortage of demons in Braj because Kans kept sending them. We know that all of Sri Krishna's leelas are pre-planned. It's not like in our life where we don't know what's going to happen next. We may try to do something and something else happens. We want people to agree with us, but that's very rare when it does happen. Shri Krishna's leelas are not like this. Everything is pre-planned. He decides ahead of time, I'm going to take avatar on earth. And in fact, it's already pre-scheduled that he comes once in one kalp, once in one day of Brahma. So before coming, he makes sure that all of his saints that he's going to need for his supporting caste, they are sent. They also take avatar. They come here on earth. And one way or another, many saints do the seva of becoming demons. And Shri Krishna, quote unquote, kills them. But what he's really doing is thanking them for their seva and releasing them from that. And you can go back to my divine abode now. But it's all part of the leela. Shri Krishna starts out in Mathura, escapes from the jail with Vasudevji, crosses Yamuna River. Vasudevji leaves him at the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda in Gokul. And he spends the first 4 years of his life in Gokul. Then they decide to move a little farther away from Mathura so that Kans can't keep sending so many demons. They move to a place which becomes known as Nandgaon. It's named after Shri Krishna's father, Nanda Baba. Then he stayed there until the age of 11 and a half. And after that, when Kans called him to come to Mathura, he came and spent some time in Mathura, went to school, later went to Dwarika. You know, in general, about all of these leelas. One way or another, through every leela, Shri Krishna was gracing the souls. The saints directly who were there with him, whether they were his parikar there in Braj, gopis, gwalbals, his direct family, or whether they were demons, they were all being graced by Shri Krishna to take part in those leelas with him, to be able to serve him by taking part in those leelas. And in fact, even the animals and birds and trees and plants, many of them were descended divine saints who came to take part in the leelas. There's one more demon who came, Arishtasur. He came in the form of a massive bull. He came to Braj. He was a bull with big sharp horns. He was so big that the hump on his back was basically the size of a mountain. He himself was the size of a mountain. In fact, he stood so high that clouds would condense around his hump. Just like a mountain causes clouds to rise and therefore they condense, and you often see the whole sky might be clear, but around the mountain there's a grouping of clouds. Arishtasur had clouds around the hump on his back like that. He was so big. And he was not nice. He was angry. And he came into Braj looking for Shri Krishna. And he was stomping on everything, breaking the mane of all the fields, smashing even people's homes, and bellowing so loudly that all the residents of Braj were fearful. So they called out to none other than our Kanhaiya. Kanhaiya, Kanhaiya, who is this? What's happening? Help us. So Shri Krishna came and stood in front of that bull, and to, you know, get him going a little more, usko chirhane ke liye, he says, "Oh Dushta, what are you doing here in my Braj, terrorizing my people? Don't you know who I am?" And he has his one friend beside him. He puts his arm like this and just stands very casually. So that ferocious bull became even more angry. And with a speed greater than the wind, he charged directly at Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna never flinched. He grabbed his two horns as he came towards him and flipped him, like a backflip behind him. So he went a good distance back, landed on the ground, recovered himself, got up and charged again. This time Shri Krishna grabbed him by the horns, picked him up and kicked him. And then he grabbed him from one end and the other, and he wrung him out, like you wring out a cloth that has water in it. Little Krishna grabbed that big, huge bull and wrung him out like that. And that was the end of Arishtasur. Although it doesn't give the details, we know that all of these asur who came to Shri Krishna, they were ostensibly doing so out of seva to Kans, Mamaji. But in reality, they were fulfilling the goal of their life by meeting their beloved Shri Krishna. So Arishtasur was dispatched. Around about this time, Naradji figured it's time to move things along a little bit. Naradji, always with the will of Shri Krishna, causes certain things to happen. He says something or does something to move things to the next stage as per the will of Shri Krishna or Shri Ram or whoever leelas are happening. So at this point, Naradji goes to Kans and he says, "Oh Kans, don't you know? The one who is foretold to be the cause of your death, he's in Braj. He's living in the home of Nanda Baba and Yashoda. You know that little girl who had flown out of your hands and foretold that the one who is going to kill you is already in Braj? She had been born to Mother Yashoda, but she was brought here by Vasudev, and Vasudev brought Krishna to her. He's been there all along. And his big brother Balaram is also there. Both Krishna and Balaram are living in Braj, right under your nose." Kans became furious. The first thing he did was, again, lock up Devaki and Vasudev out of spite or revenge or whatever it may be. He sent guards to grab them and put them in the prison again. The next thing is, he sent a demon by the name of Keshi to go and kill Shri Krishna and Balaram. And the next thing is, he called his ministers and his big wrestlers and the master of the biggest, meanest elephant in the whole kingdom. A real giant. So he called all of them. And he said, "I've got a plan." He called Akrurji as well. So he told them, "We're going to call Krishna and Balaram to come here to Mathura. and we're going to arrange a Dhanush Yagya, similar to the Dhanush Yagya that Shri Ram took part in at Sitaji's Swayamvar. So, ministers, I want you to arrange for the construction of a huge stadium so that all the citizens from Mathura and my kingdom and from surrounding lands as well can come and watch. They can witness this. So the ministers were given instructions. Chanur and Mushtik, the two greatest wrestlers, biggest, strongest wrestlers, as well as quite a few other wrestlers, were instructed that you are going to have to wrestle against Krishna. But he told the Mahabhat, the controller of that big, gigantic elephant, that you first position yourself outside the entrance to the stadium, and when Krishna attempts to enter, you have your elephant trample him. But if by some chance he gets past the elephants, then the wrestlers will challenge them to wrestle. I mean, they're just little boys, Krishna and Balaram. How hard could it be to kill them? So Chanur and Mushtik, you'll be tasked with wrestling against them and killing them. So this is Kansa's big plan, to organize this Dhanush Yagya, and he tells Akrurji that you go and don't tell him anything except that, you know, I've brought this beautiful chariot for you and you've been invited to witness this Dhanush Yagya. Please come and observe the glory of your ancestral place, Mathura, where you were born, where all of your forefathers are from. So we're inviting you to come and take part in this event. Just tell them that much. Don't tell them anything else. And then when they come, we'll take care of them. Kans had plans for world domination. Yes, he says, oh yes, because if I get rid of Krishna and Balaram, then my father, Ugrasen, from whom he had stolen the kingdom and put him in jail, says, my father, Ugrasen, although he is old, he's still very greedy to get his crown back. And Krishna and Balaram would want to help him. So once I kill Krishna and Balaram, Kans is so evil, he says, I'll do the same to my father and the rest of his supporters. And then everyone that's left is with me. Jarasandh, who has a huge kingdom, he's going to support me. Narakasur is going to support me. All these other kings, they're all on my side. So I'm going to rule everything. All I have to do is kill these two little boys, Krishna and Balaram, and my whole plan will fall into place. So Akrurji was sent to Braj. Keshi had been sent ahead, actually. Keshi went there, but that's a short story. He also reached there, went into Vrindavan, actually. And there's a place there nowadays, you can see. It's called Keshi Ghat. It's where Shri Krishna took a bath in Yamuna after killing Keshi. So Keshi came in the form of a huge horse. As big as Arishtasur was as a bull, Keshi was as big as a horse. And the mane, the hairs on his back and his tail, because he was so tall, when he moved around, those hairs would make the clouds break apart and move around. He was so tall. So he came into Braj and he started stomping around. He was so big and heavy that it basically caused an earthquake when he walked around. So Shri Krishna, of course, came and faced him head on and he roared at him. He didn't say anything, he just roared. So that got Keshi ready for a fight. He charged at Shri Krishna. Same thing, Shri Krishna grabs him by the hind feet, twirls him around, and throws him. He gets back up after some time, regains consciousness, and he charges at Shri Krishna with his mouth open, charging at him to swallow him. So Shri Krishna goes like that, and he swallows his arm on the way in, knocking out most of his teeth. And then he just made his arm swell up. And Keshi also swelled up like a balloon, and that was the end of him. So Kanha dispatched Keshi, and then he went to the place which is now known as Keshi Ghat. It's one of the most popular places for people to go and bathe in Yamunaji. So he went in there and had a holy bath in Yamuna. So the final demon that Kans had sent had been dispatched. Akrurji was on his way. He had been given agya to come and call Shri Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. But before we get to that, there's one more beautiful description called the Yugal Geet, which comes. It's one of the final leelas described for Shri Krishna's time in Vraj. In the Yugal Geet, the gopis are talking amongst each other about Shri Krishna. Shukadevji says, Krishna every day went out to graze the cows with the Gwalbals, and every day when he went, he took the hearts of the gopis with him. So the gopis thought about Shri Krishna the whole day, and they also sang his leelas. That's how they spent their day, with difficulty, missing him so much, thinking, when will the evening come when he's going to come back and we'll get to have his darshan? In this way, gopis started talking amongst each other. And this is called Yugal Geet because the shlokas are paired. Yugal means two or both. So the first pair of shlokas describes something, it's in the words of the gopis. The gopis are describing about Shri Krishna's appearance in the first shloka of the pair, and in the second shloka of the pair, they're describing about the effect of his flute, his murali. So it's a very nice, it basically presents these beautiful vignettes or these beautiful jhankis, these scenes that are described, which are so good for Rup Dhyan. These are beautiful descriptions where there's not necessarily a lot of action happening, but it's describing different scenes of Shri Krishna and the effect of his flute. I mentioned yesterday that the effect of Shri Krishna's flute is one of his special qualities. It's called his Murali Madhuri. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Ved says that God has unlimited powers and unlimited qualities. In Shri Krishna, those are revealed in totality, which is why he's called Purnatam Purushottam Brahm. Purn means full. All the other forms of God are none other than Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna himself is Ram. Shri Krishna himself is Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, etc. In those other forms, he's not revealing himself in totality, although he is still himself in totality, but he's not revealing it externally through his actions or his appearance. You see, as Ram, although it's the same Shri Krishna, but he's not revealing in full his playfulness, his lovingness. Shri Ram doesn't play on the flute. Why? Because that's a very special divine attribute of Shri Krishna that is only revealed in those leelas of Braj. It's not revealed in the leelas of Shri Krishna. of, it's not revealed in the Leelas of Sri Ram. So let me share a little bit of this description with you. It will hopefully help you, give you some ideas for your Rup Dhyan. Rup Dhyan is the most important thing in a person's devotion. Joining our mind with Shri Krishna through thinking of his form, thinking of his leelas and his qualities, this is what a person has to do. So let me share a little bit of the description from this Yugal Geet. The gopis are saying that when Shri Krishna stands and tilts his head to the right, like that, standing in his Tribhangi Lal pose, right, he's bent at the waist and ankles as well, like he's standing with the feet crossed, and his head tilted to the right, and the flute on the right side, and he brings the flute up to his red lips, and with dancing eyebrows, he begins to blow into the flute, and his fingers dance across the holes in that flute. When that happens, the effect is so great that the celestial beings called Siddhas, it's another form of celestial being residing in Swarg, they come in their Viman, in their aerial chariots, you can say, and they watch from above, and they're amazed. They're just looking at this beautiful pose of Shri Krishna and listening to what the melody he's playing on his flute, and they're so entranced that as they're watching from above, they actually lose awareness of their own body. They're not even conscious that, you know, is the braid in my hair coming loose and flowers are falling out, or this ornament fell off, or this garment is loose and not fitting properly. They have no idea. They're just looking and completely entranced. That's one jhanki they give. Gopis are talking amongst themselves. Shri Krishna is out grazing the cows, and they're just passing the day talking about him. They go on and they explain that Shri Krishna, he's so beautiful. His smile is so brilliant. Nowadays, you know, all the movie stars have nice white teeth. You can buy whitening toothpaste and whitening strips and all these things. Shri Krishna has naturally white teeth. They're described as being like a mala of pearls, a perfect row of pearls. And when he smiles, it's a brilliant, charming smile, which is so brilliant that it even causes his chest to shine. And on his chest, he does have an interesting mark called the Shri Vats. It's said to be Lakshmi, who resides on his chest, in the form of a little light pattern. So it looks like lightning. Like, he's kind of dark, like Ghanasham, like a dark rain cloud. And on his chest is this white streak. And with his teeth shining so brightly, so beautifully, when Shri Krishna plays on his flute, thinking that the gopis are missing me, we've been separated all day, let me play on my flute to give them a little taste of that feeling that I'm coming. I'll soon meet them. So when he does that, sending the sound of the flute all over Braj and breathing life back into the bodies of the gopis whose pran felt like it was about to leave because they couldn't live without Shri Krishna even for that amount of time, was like life got breathed back into their bodies. Now when the sound of that flute goes around Braj, the cows, the bulls, the deer, they all hear it also. So they are attracted by the sound of Shri Krishna playing his flute, and they all come around Shri Krishna. And they just watch him. And, you know, they're usually, because in Braj there's so much lush green grass, they're always finding something good to eat, so they're always chewing their cud, they have a mouthful of something. So they're listening, and it's just there in their mouth. They're not swallowing it, they're not spitting it out. They're also entranced, listening to Shri Krishna, and they've become still like statues. There are eight symptoms of divine love that manifest in the body of a devotee, of a saint, or in God's body himself. Stambha svedotha romancha swarbhedotha vepathu vaivarnyamashru pralaya ityashtau satvika smrita. Rupa Goswami says, these are the eight signs that someone is receiving Shri Krishna's divine love in his heart, and it's manifesting in his body because it's overflowing his heart. The first symptom is called stambh. You know, like a kambha, a pillar, it stands perfectly still. So it is said that the effect of Shri Krishna's flute is so great that all the char become achar. All the animals that move around when they hear his flute, they become in a state of divine love absorbment, hearing the sound of that flute. See, those cows, those bulls, those deer, the animals of Braj, it's been explained that, let's say somebody does devotion to Radha and Krishna directly with Madhurya Bhav, they'll go directly to Vrindavan, become a gopi. Let's say they do devotion with Vatsalya Bhav, they'll go to Golok Abode and get that relationship of parent to child with Shri Krishna. If they do devotion to Radha Krishna with Sakya Bhav, they'll go there to Golok Dham and get to become one of Shri Krishna's sakhas. But let's say if somebody did devotion to Shri Krishna in another form, maybe they worshipped him as Mahavishnu in his almighty form, and he got God realized. But after getting God realized, he happened to meet a Rasik Mahapurush, a saint of Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav, one of the saints who has attained Radha Krishna. And hearing from him about these leelas of Radha and Krishna, he says, oh, I want to experience that. But he's already attained Mahavishnu, for example. He is granted to enter Vrindavan, enter Golok, and experience the ras of Radha Krishna Leelas, but not as a gopi or a gwalbal. If he had attained one of the other personal forms of God, he is given entrance to Shri Krishna's divine abode, but as a cow or a monkey or any of the other living beings who move around. If there are jnanis or yogis who attained nirakar brahm, so they attained liberation, but before leaving their body they met a rasik mahapurush and they said, oh, I want that bliss of Radha Krishna Leelas, they're also given they're allowed to enter Golok or Vrindavan, but as the static beings, trees, plants, etc. In the divine world, they're all saints. The gopis, Gwalbals, they're the ones who worshipped Radha and Krishna directly. The animals and birds, they are mostly saints who had attained Shri Krishna's other forms. And then the static beings, they're the ones, the gopis, the gyanis, yogis, who had attained liberation, but before leaving their body, surrendered to Radha and Krishna. So, these cows are also exhibiting the symptoms of divine love. They've become stumbh. Even their mouth stopped working. And they're just standing there entranced by Shri Krishna. Not only the trees and plants and animals of Braj were divine, but even Yamuna River is divine. Yamuna ji is the adibhautik roop of the goddess Kalindi, a divine personality. She also came in a material form here on earth as a river in order to serve Shri Krishna in Braj. So the gopis are saying that sometimes Shri Krishna dresses up in a very earthy way. Very simple, like a village boy. He'll go and actually almost like a, you know how pahalwan, they put some dirt on themselves over here and maybe some colorful clay and decorate themselves and maybe some berries or just something, things from the earth, right? Decorating the, Shri Krishna does that sometimes, puts his pagadi on and finds something to decorate himself and ties up his kachani and has his stick and he's looking very cute as a little wrestler. And then he uses his flute to call out the names of the cows. So when he plays his flute, Yamunaji also hears it. And Yamunaji is thinking, oh, I also wish I could get the foot dust of Shri Krishna. She hears the flute, she can't see him, he's too far. She's thinking, if only the wind would blow up some of his foot dust from over there and that foot dust would come and land in me. So the gopis describe that Yamuna ji is also getting excited thinking of that. Like her arms are going up, so the waves go up sometimes. But then she becomes totally still. Stops moving. The whole flow of Yamuna ji halts. And gopis are saying this is also sattvic bhav. And they give a comparison that when they get an embrace from Shri Krishna, they feel so much love that their hands may tremble for some time, but then they become still. And they're thinking, we're so unfortunate, we can't even hug him back. We're so absorbed in that bliss, our body becomes still and we don't have control over it anymore and we're just standing there still like statues. So Yamunaji is doing the same thing. She's getting excited and then becoming totally still. And this is another jhanki described by the gopis. After that, they tell some more. They say that of all the things in this world worth seeing, and anything that may be beyond this world, the most beautiful is Shri Krishna. And they tell about the saffron that he applies on his forehead, saying that even that is so beautiful, you just want to look and keep looking. It's so attractive. So, when he goes into the forest and he's playing with Gualbals, and over there on the apron, like on the lower green part of Govardhan Hill, the cows are grazing, and he wants to call them to come to him. So he calls each cow's name on his flute. And he has his banmala also. His banmala reaches all the way down to his knees. Banmala is made of 5 different divine flowers that grow in the jungle. And he wears that 5-colored flower mala. So it's very fragrant also. Plus, there's a natural fragrance of Shri Krishna's beautiful black curly hair. So his hair has a fragrance. His banmala has beautiful fragrance. So there are bees attracted. Big, lazy bumblebees. And they're all buzzing around, but not feeling so lazy anymore. They're so excited by this fragrance, they're buzzing loudly all around Shri Krishna. And Shri Krishna pays respect to them by playing on his flute in a tune that matches their buzzing. So he and the bees are singing together. And when that happens, it's so enticing that the Hans and the other water birds that float on the water in the nearby sarovars, they start coming closer. And they come out of the water and they walk over to Shri Krishna and they sit there like Paramahansas. They come close, they sit, and they close their eyes. And just like that, internally, they're just worshipping Shri Krishna. So everybody is affected by the sound of his flute. They go on to explain that sometimes when Shri Krishna plays on his flute, all the trees and bushes and vines, they also hear it. As I explained, they're divine personalities. So as he's playing on his flute, the trees become laden with flowers. And the vines as well, and the shrubs. Not only flowers, but fruits just start getting bigger on the vines, on the branches. So they start bowing down like this, all the way until they touch the ground, as if they're doing pranam to Shri Krishna. And just like a person, one of the sattvic bhav is tears from the eyes. Similarly, all of these static beings, it's like now they've started to move, right? They're bowing down, whereas the moving creatures, the char, they've become achar. Now the achar are becoming char. They're moving, they're bowing down, and instead of tears from their eyes, they start dripping sweet sap from all of their pores. It's just starting to come out of them. The effect of the flute is so thrilling to them. It's like it's melting their heart. The gopis tell another beautiful scene. They say that when Shri Krishna stands upon the top of Govardhan Hill, at that time Govardhan was quite tall. So when he and Balaram stand up there on the top of Govardhan Hill, and in order to rejoice the whole world, filling his flute, the sound of his flute, with bliss, blissful feelings, he plays on his flute. It's like he's embracing the whole world and everyone in it. So when that happens, even the clouds get excited. And the clouds come and want to be a part of that. So they kind of gather over Shri Krishna. And hearing the sound of his flute, they start softly rumbling. But the cloud is also careful. I shouldn't rumble too loudly to overpower the sound of the flute. And I also shouldn't rumble out of tune. I should be in tune with Shri Krishna's flute. So Shri Krishna is playing and the clouds are just lightly rumbling. And it's like they're having a jugalbandi. So they're both matching each other. And the cloud is also thinking, okay, there's too much sun on Shri Krishna right now. Let me cover over top of him. And wanting to do more seva, the cloud lightly drizzles down. Just some little puffs of rain, almost like flower petals would feel. Just some little puffs of rain to cool Shri Krishna on this hot day. And in fact, gopis say sometimes there are devtas who hide up in the clouds and they do shower little flower petals on Shri Krishna secretly. What else do gopis describe? Well, we heard about the siddhas. We heard about the cows and bulls and deer. We heard about Yamunaji. We heard about the trees and the all the plants and bushes. We heard about the bees. We heard about the birds. We heard about the clouds. Sometimes Shri Krishna will stand and, you know, he wears different kinds of malas. Sometimes he wears a tulsi mala. And on that tulsi mala, he'll stand with a friend next to him because he's very stylish and cool, right? So he's standing like this and he's looking at all the cows and he's counting them to make sure they're all there. So he's counting them on his tulsi mala. He looks, that one's there, that one's there, that one's there. So he's just resting on his friend's shoulder and doing that. And at the same time with one hand playing on his flute. So it's quite a beautiful vision. And when that happens, a lot of times the deer will come around and just surround him. Like leaving all of their other activities, they'll all just come and surround Shri Krishna. Now talking to Mother Yashoda, the gopis say, you know that no one ever taught your son how to play the flute? He just knows all of this. And whenever he plays, he's playing ever new tunes. Did you know that even Brahma and Shankarji, who are all knowing, when they hear Shri Krishna playing, every time they're mesmerized because they say, I never heard that tune before. So he knows all the rags automatically and he's making new combinations and making new melodies. So even Brahma and Shiva are ever excited and mesmerized by the playing of Shri Krishna on his flute. Finally, the gopis say about themselves. They say that, you know, when the cows are walking on the ground, they have heavy hooves and it goes into Mother Earth. Now Shri Krishna has very soft feet and on the soles of his feet he has some divine symbols like a flag and a lightning bolt, etc. Now when his feet touch Mother Earth, it's like he's healing the wounds caused by the hooves of the cows. So he's soothing Mother Earth by walking on her. So when we see him walking like that, and he's walking with a beautiful gait like an elephant, the elephant is the best example that anyone gives for a style of walking. Because we've never seen Shri Krishna walk, so we can't imagine it. So to help someone else who hasn't seen it imagine it, they're saying that the way an elephant walks with that graceful gait and kind of almost dancing to and fro as it walks. That's how Shri Krishna walks. So his graceful gait, his beautiful soft charan, the tune he's playing on his flute, and his playful glances that he tosses our way as he's walking just makes us forget our body consciousness, and we just stand there still watching him walk by with the cows. So at this point, they say, anyway, what's taking him so long today? We're waiting and waiting and waiting, and he hasn't come. So one gopi says, oh, you know that there are some big important personalities that wait for him along the way, like Brahma and Shiva, they go and do pranam. So he's probably getting slowed down by that. You know, he can't be rude. He has, if they're doing pranam, he has to stop and wait. So maybe that's why it's taking a little longer today. But oh, look. See the cows coming now. So you see all the huge herd of cows, because Shri Krishna has all of his cows, and each Gwalbal has their family's cows all together in a big herd. So then the gopis describe Shri Krishna coming back into the village and passing their home where they were waiting the whole day, even as they were doing their chores, just waiting with such an excitement to meet Shri Krishna when he's coming back. So they're saying, oh look, isn't it so beautiful how, because he's been walking behind the cows, the dust from their hooves has flown up, and all of that braj, it has settled on his banmala, it's settled on his beautiful shiny hair. So he's further decorated with the dust of braj. And look how he's walking with gwalbals, talking to them, glancing our way here and there, playing on his flute, and just like a big procession coming through past the gopis' homes. So the gopis have a very short time to have darshan, just as he comes and goes and then goes to his house. So they're watching him, because the Gwalbals live all the way along the way as well. So they're saying, oh look, he's saying goodbye to that friend, and that friend is taking his cows and going towards his house. And then, oh, he's saying goodbye to that friend, and look, now he's passing my house. And in this way, Shukadevji says, the gopis passed every day like this, completely absorbed in thoughts of Shri Krishna, talks of Shri Krishna, just engrossing their mind in thinking of him night and day. So this is a little glimpse of that beautiful Yugal Geet described by Shukadevji, of the conversation of the gopis told in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. I'll tell some more leelas further ahead tomorrow, where we'll get to hear a very important part of the Bhagavatam when Akrurji comes and requests Shri Krishna and Balaram to go to Mathura, and they take leave of the gopis and Radha and Mother Yashoda and everyone and go to Mathura. There's an important devotional thing to understand about Shri Krishna's leaving Braj, which we'll discuss tomorrow. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.